You're listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.
Welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective. I feel a few technical difficulties here, but hey, we're with you. I'm your host, Doug DeFeller, and I have an exciting guest for us to talk with today. If you're listening to the show live, then you are on octalkradio.net. If you'd like to participate in the discussion, be sure to call in with your questions and comments. Our call-in numbers are 949-713-6443 or 949-713-6447. And hey, you can join me on the air. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting website www.thecoachingperspective.com. Well, our guest today is Kathy Fleming, master coach, consultant, leadership trainer. She's an extraordinary coach and trainer. As a senior leader with Accomplishment Coaching, Kathy conducts year-long professional coaching and leadership training programs. In addition to those who are creating thriving coaching practices, many of her students are executives in business and government, honing their leadership and coaching skills. She was recently awarded the prestigious credential of Master Certified Coach from the International Coaching Federation. Congratulations, Kathy. Above all, Kathy is an open-hearted, authentic, clear, and courageous person. She is a devoted and caring ally for all those with whom she partners to create results, and she delights in coaching clients and training leaders and coaches. Kathy, welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show.
All right. Thank you very much, Doug. It was interesting to hear my bio read by someone else. I thought, oh, listen, that's interesting. I wonder if I'd like to talk to her. Maybe I would.
Well, that's what we're here for. And let me just apologize. I am still getting my voice back from a trip out of town 2 weeks ago. I lost my voice, and it's almost back to normal, so I'm going to let our guest do most of the talking today.
But, all right. Well, so it sounds good to me, Doug.
That sounds good. It sounds good to everybody I talk to. So first, let's start out. Tell our audience about your path to your current business. What did you do before you did what you're doing now?
Well, I was a marketing manager for AT&T for about 17 years, and so I had the opportunity to work with large businesses. I was in charge of all the utilities in the Pacific Northwest, and I was actually marketing pretty highly technical products to those folks. And what I noticed as I was presenting marketing plans or I was presenting products and services to them, I was always noticing what was going on with the people around the tables. I was watching the interaction, you know, so I could see the conversation that was happening on the top of the table, but I was really much more interested in what was happening underneath, you know, what was driving people to their conversations, maybe where they were stopped, what was happening underneath the surface of the conversation. So I had an opportunity to take another graduate program in applied behavioral science through the Leadership Institute of Seattle. My vice president supported me in that, and so that's where I really picked up my passion for working with leaders, looking at leadership, and gained a lot of experience in that world, the world of behavioral science, the world of what makes people tick, what motivates them. And, you know, I really did drop into my passion. I think I was smart enough to do the technical job of marketing for AT&T. And when I moved into coaching and consulting, I really got to experience my own passion. I think my own real zone of genius, which, you know, you'll know that happens when it comes easily. And not that I didn't have to study, but I absolutely love that type of work, working with people to have them fulfill on their own possibilities.
Wonderful. Well, look, you recently became a Master Certified Coach. I want to congratulate you on that distinction. You know, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the last time I checked, which was maybe about a month ago, the International Coach Federation has around 18,000 members worldwide, of which I think 8,000 are credentialed coaches, of which only 600 and some are master certified coaches.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that number. Thank you for that.
Of which only 300 and some are in North America. So
Wow. You
have joined a very small, exclusive club.
Ah, well, that's really nice to hear. I know it was a challenge. It represents 2,500 hours or more of coaching and a rigorous testing and evaluation process. So it actually took me about 8 years through the professional certified coach and then the master certified coach level. And so I am proud of it. And I believe that having that credential has people look at my coaching as someone who's already been screened and vetted and believe that I bring a lot of value to the work that I do. I think that credential,
I'm sure
whatever
you
the level of credential is important in the field of coaching to foster the professionalism of it. You know, that we can, because there are no real licenses for coaches, and so our own credentialing process, I think, is really important so that our clients know that they're getting the very best coach, the one who's trained and experienced and has a high level of integrity.
Okay. So tell me about your current business.
Well, I really have two aspects of my business. One is I'm, as you mentioned in the introduction, I'm a senior leader in Accomplishment Coaching, which is headquartered in San Diego, but we have training locations in a number of cities. New York, we have two locations in New York City, one in Washington, D.C., one in Chicago, two in Seattle, and a brand new one in Kuala Lumpur. And so we now can say that we are a worldwide presence, and we like to believe that we are the finest coach training program that there is. It is a year-long coach training program, and we meet for the domestic locations, we meet once a month for 12 months. The program in Kuala Lumpur meets once a quarter for a full week. But we really look at every aspect of our participants' lives and have them taking on their lives. And in that process, having them get out of the way, anything that would stand between them and coaching their clients powerfully. So it really is a combination, three levels, a transformational program. It's a career coach training program and also a leadership training program. We have our participants step into leadership either in their organization, leading and developing their own coaching practice, and also leadership in their own lives. So it's a powerful program, and I really believe, I feel just really blessed, I would say, to be able to lead that program and to work with people for a whole year to see them moving through their lives and taking on the coaching and developing their own coaching practices, which we have them begin from the very first weekend after their program, having clients and then developing their skills through the year. We also have a program where our graduates from the program, if they have proven that they are powerful coaches and can build a practice, we invite them to come back and become our mentor coaches for the next group of participants. So they are still in the conversation, and they're developing their leadership and their coaching even more because they're supported and continue to be trained by the leaders in the organization. So we love the structure. We think it works really well for people to continue on in their journey to become even more experienced and more confident and powerful coaches.
Wonderful.
So that's the one aspect of my business. And then, of course, the other is my own private coaching practice. I have a website, Kathy Fleming Coaching. Clever, don't you think? Kathy Fleming Coaching.
Where did you get that name? That name is so great.
Yeah, I thought it was quite clever, you know. And so in that practice, I coach individuals pretty typically on the phone, but around the country and actually around the world. So, and it is just a joy for me to do that, to stand as a partner with my clients to have them take on whatever it is that they want to take on in their lives and co-create that possibility. And again, having them move things out of the way, things perhaps that they don't even recognize, and move them out of the way so they can create just exactly what they want to create in their lives. So that's, you know, so I get both. I get to do the individual coaching, and then I get to lead groups of participants. We have 20 people in our coach training programs, plus a cadre of mentor coaches. So I get the opportunity to coach individually and then to lead the group and coach that group. So it's my perfectly designed life.
Well, isn't that wonderful that you can have a perfectly designed life and do the same for your clients? And I'll just say that for those of you listening, you might want to go to Kathy's website, Kathy Fleming Coaching. She has got some phenomenal testimonials there and success stories. So, Kathy, what you're saying is certainly backed up by your clients. Congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. Well, I also want to send people to the Accomplishment Coaching website. It's www.accomplishmentcoaching.com. I think right there you're going to see a lot of the work that we do in the coaches training program for people who are interested in becoming coaches and or increasing their leadership skills. So we're okay. Proud of both of those.
Well, you know, there is a question that we like to ask all of our guests. I mentioned it to you earlier before we went on the show, and that is, tell us a particular experience or a key lesson that you have learned that sort of guides you in the way in which you do business or go through life. We call it your guiding principle. What would that be for you?
I really like that question a lot. I used to be, when I got my master's in applied behavioral science, I was primarily a consultant, and consultants often come in with, you know, ideas and answers and suggestions, perhaps support their clients with strategies. And I'd also been a college instructor, so I had a lot of teacher in me, you know, a lot of teller. And I believe the biggest shift for me, or a key lesson, has been that as a coach, to really honor the brilliance of my clients. Most astounding thing I've discovered, I think, in my coaching is if I am just quiet for a moment and use my brilliance to ask a question that will really illuminate the brilliance of my clients, that makes the most difference. What I like to say to myself and to the students that I teach is what we tell our clients makes little difference, but what they discover with our support makes all the difference. And so my job really is to ask them the questions that are going to tune in and tap into their brilliance. And I can't tell you the number of times that I have held my tongue when I thought I had an answer and just listened, and they came up with something so much more brilliant and so much more appropriate for them than I could have dreamed of. And so I'd say one of my primary guiding principles is trust your client. Trust that they have the wisdom and the knowledge. Trust that they are brilliant and that at some level they do know. And my job is to support them in discovering that.
I mean, we hear that so often that clients are whole, clients aren't sick, clients... I'm sorry. Say that again, Kathy. Hello?
Well, that they're brilliant, that they're absolutely brilliant.
Kathy, hold on one second. We're going to take a commercial break. Maybe we'll be back to you in just a minute.
Okay, sounds great.
Can we talk about your family business? You know, that thing you put your whole life's blood, sweat, and tears into? Well, what happens when you retire or try and pass that business on to your children? At Succession Strategies, we can help you find the answers. We'll guide you through the unsettling process of protecting your family legacy and successfully passing your business on to the next generation, safely and securely, ensuring that it'll both survive and thrive for generations to come. So ask yourself just one question. Can I really afford to wait? Take the first step. Take our complimentary self-assessment at successionstrategies.com or call us at 714-560-5000. 6789022 to set up a free consultation at your convenience. That's succession-strategies.com. Succession-strategies.com. Succession planning for your family's continued success.
There's something happening out there today. All across America, we're seeing encouraging signs of economic recovery. Businesses are once again thinking about new growth, and new opportunities are emerging. But it raises the question, is your company positioned to take full advantage of the economic recovery and the opportunities it presents? Maybe it's time to ask, how has the recession impacted your business model? Is your business as relevant as it once was? Should you consider entering new markets or expanding into new categories? And what do customers really value about their relationship with you? The golden thread through all these questions and the answer to each and every one of them can be found in just one place. Your brand. It's much deeper than your logo and much bigger than your advertising. Your brand is the enabler of your entire business strategy. Rikus Baird is a brand strategy firm that can help. They specialize in business branding. They've helped hundreds of companies from startups to Fortune 500 leverage their brands to drive growth. They can do the same for yours. It's really quite simple. Find out more, just visit brandingbusiness.com. That's www.brandingbusiness.com. And plant the seed for economic growth. And now back to Doug and his guest.
So we're at that point now where we want to talk about a challenge that you're having, or a challenge that coaches are having. And coincidentally, or not coincidentally, you and I get to speak on a panel together on June 14th at the Orange County chapter of the ICF meeting, talking about the converting more prospects to clients, accomplishment training coaching, how to find clients.
Right. Yeah, we do a lot of work with our participants in how to build a coaching practice. And a great deal of that, the challenge of it, comes from the coach not necessarily trusting that they have enough experience, or perhaps even moving out of the way that notion that they're fearing rejection. And one of the things that I love about this opportunity is that instead of being in a sales mode, we actually train our folks to be in an enrollment conversation, which really means having conversations with people about what they're up to, not what it is the coach needs and the desire to build their coaching practice, but rather what is it that the other person is up to? What are they interested in? What is a dream that they have that they've actually been spinning their wheels about, or maybe just lack focus, or even a dream that they could use a partner to fulfill on? Could also be that they've got some issue or something that's keeping them stuck or stopped, you know, maybe some problem. But either way, having a partner in creating what it is that they want in their life. And so I think one of the biggest challenges as a newer coach is just trusting that what they have is of value. And the notion that I talked about earlier about the guiding principle is that our clients are really brilliant and whole, and our job is to support that brilliance in, you know, asking the kind of questions that bring that out. And I think a lot of new coaches may think that they have to have a lot of answers. But really, it's the ability to be curious that I think makes the best coach. Just being curious and interested. You got to like people too. You know, you got to be willing to be out there talking to folks. And so, if we look at what, you know, some of the challenges are around a coaching practice, it is, I would say, filling that I hate to say filling the pipeline because that sounds so salesy, but having enough conversations for possibility that people really get a sense of who you are and what you can provide. And they're always singing that What's in it for me song, you know, that radio station, WIIFM. A client is always has that in the background. And so as we train our coaches, and the approach that I have is it's really not about me and what I need. It's really about what the client needs, what they're looking for, and what is going to serve them most powerfully to make that happen in their life. It could be a promotion they want at work, but getting clear about what it is that they want and then partnering to co-create that. So it could be a promotion. It could be having a baby. It could be finding a new career. It could be a new level of health and fitness. You know, they're just, it could be writing a book. It could be anything that the client has in mind. And then as a coach, deciding whether you want your practice to be focused on a particular niche or whether you'd prefer to be more of a generalist. And so in the Accomplishment Coaching Coaches Training Program, we teach them all of that, you know, supporting them to build a business based on what they have a passion for.
You know, Kathy, it sounds like, if I can put it this way, and then correct me, please, but it sounds like you don't distinguish between coaching and a sales conversation. In other words, you've kind of eliminated the sales conversation and start right out with a conversation that is a coaching conversation about what the client needs and how we can help them. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's really it. I wish I had said it that way because that's exactly it. Every conversation for possibility is a coaching conversation. I would say that sometimes our coaches do perhaps a little bit too much coaching, so, and we all want to do that because we don't get into this profession without the desire to really support people or help them to be a partner in it. Most of the coaches that I encounter are people who are really tuned into people and love being with them, love being, I'm hesitating to say help because sometimes we talk about help and that means you need some help, you need fixing, and that's not the approach that we take. We really believe that our coaches and I support people in having what they desire. But every conversation is a coaching conversation in our way of thinking. We may have, you know, a few comments about what coaching is or maybe the logistics. In my practice, I coach 1 hour a week, pretty typically on the phone, because I have a client in Manila, so I would have a hard time coaching him in person, for example. But we do it on Skype, and so the range is vast for the number of people that you can coach and the locations that you can coach them. But the conversations are really about what they're up to, not my pushing something on them, not my selling them something. But unless they can see for themselves what the potential is, the coaching engagement will be short or it won't happen at all.
Well, you know, and what I love about what you're saying is that as so many of us, and I'll include myself in this, who are not comfortable selling, when you take the selling out of it and you instead talk about having a conversation about what are your needs and how can I help you, then it lets me be who I am and takes away this used car salesman.
Exactly. Wait, there's more. Wait, here's something else I can do for you, right?
You got it. Exactly.
Yeah, that's just brilliant. You know, the participants in my training program, Accomplishment Coaching, just sometimes they have to just give up that notion or let go of that notion of sales because there's no one who likes to be sold to. Even if you're going into a furniture store and want to buy a sofa, if someone says, may I help you, typically we'll say, no, just looking. And we went there to buy a sofa. And so it's nobody really likes to be sold to. But most people enjoy the prospect of an opportunity or a possibility. Most people like talking about themselves. And so I do believe that the notion of enrolling people in that possibility is where the power of coaching lies. And then a lot of times I'll just use an example of what my potential client is looking at. Maybe they want a shift. Maybe they want a new relationship. Maybe they want a baby. I had a client once who wanted to lose 100 pounds so she could be ready to have a baby. And that's where we worked and looked at all the places where she might actually be blind to the ways that she was undermining or sabotaging that. But it's really about the skill of listening, really listening carefully to what the client is looking for. And in those initial conversations, one of the things that I like to do is say, you know, this is exactly the kind of question I'm going to be asking you as we're working together. So I can kind of step out of the conversation for a moment and share what my process is. You know, this is how it will be. I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to have you thinking about what it is that you need, or what do you already know how to do, or what resources do you already have. And so I really like to step back and point out that this is an actual example of a coaching conversation. And then together, we're going to create some projects and some milestones and for you to move forward in those projects.
And I want to just stay with this a minute because, as you know and I know, this is such a major issue for people that are new in the coaching field. And you know, just taking your example of the person going in to buy a sofa, can you imagine going into the store and the salesperson says, are you interested in buying a sofa? And let me tell you what a salesperson does. And then they proceed to explain to you how they sell.
That's brilliant.
So many coaches. Man,
I'm going to use that in my coach training program. I'll take my example and pull it one mile further. Thank you, Doug.
Well, I mean, I see so many people talk about how we do what we do without identifying why do you need a sofa, how big is the room, what colors are you looking for, and who in the world would ever think of the salesperson going, let me tell you about my commission structure and what hours I work.
That is hilarious.
Thank you for making that so clear for us. I mean, you really explained it very clearly, and I think gave me a new way to talk about it that hopefully...
Well, you gave me a new way to talk about it, too, so thank you for that. I think that's what coaches do. I think we're, by and large, a generous bunch, you know, a generous tribe. We love sharing our ideas about what works and what didn't, and if we've got some legs under us, we actually enjoy laughing at ourselves, you know, like, wow, that was a train wreck, you know? Really just and at ourselves, not at our clients, but where we might have thought we were just really brilliant and we showed off our brilliance and it landed flat, you know, just those places where we're all, I think we're all, hesitating to say all, but I think by and large, coaches really love to learn, love to experience, and love to see their clients expand. But I'll tell you, one of the things that I think is so true is that a coach's transformation comes through coaching her clients or his clients. You know, like what they're working on is exactly what I'm working on. And I'm taking risks in my life. I, of course, have a coach and have had for 10 years. If I'm unwilling to take risks in my life, how can I ask a client to do so? How can I ask them to call that important person, that important, you know, how can I ask them to schedule a job interview? How can I ask them to step forward and tell the truth if I'm unwilling to take on my life in those risky, scary ways? So we're all growing at the same time.
Absolutely. Kathy, one of the things you have on your website that I wanted to ask you about is NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. Can you talk a little bit about how that applies in your coaching?
Of course, I'd love to. I have a master's degree in English, a master's degree in applied behavioral science, and I'm a master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming. Not sure what I've been trying to prove with all those degrees, but there they are. And I've had fun learning in each of those disciplines. But neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, really looks at the neuro, or the nerves, you know, the way our brains function, and the linguistic is the words we use, and then the programming is the ways that we have been set up to think in consistent patterns. And the primary way that I use NLP is in supporting my clients to look past those automatic ways of looking at things, those contexts that, you know, the lens through which they view the world, and having them remove those, look at those contexts and see if they're actually supportive or if they're not. And so one of the specific ways that I use NLP is I listen for language in my clients. And so the notion of visual, auditory, or kinesthetic language comes into play. And so if I hear in their language that they are a visual learner or they speak visually, they might say, oh, I get the picture, or, ah, that's not clear to me. Then I can match that language, and so we can get more in a state of rapport. So if I hear them speaking, you know, in an auditory way, I can say, well, how does that sound to you? Or does that ring a bell? Does that resonate for you? Or a kinesthetic speaker, I might listen for, you know, like they're getting it in their bones, or maybe I'm listening for, how does that feel? Where do you notice that in your body? And so that's just one way that I use neurolinguistic programming in a very simple and straightforward way. And I also incorporate it into the training because it's kind of a simple way to listen, but you're also speaking your client's language and then listening for the subtleties in that. Since we do most of our coaching on the phone, that capacity to really listen, it's kind of like, since you can't see, typically, we develop a finer-tuned ear for the speaking and the approach that our client has through visual, auditory, or kinesthetic language, and I try to match that. I've been doing NLP for 10 years now, and so it's pretty deeply integrated. You know, I have come to a level of, I'm hoping, unconscious competence, you know, those. And so there are lots of ways that I use it, even some processes that I use. One is called a circle of excellence, where I actually have a person creating their own visual circle of excellence where they really feel that they are a time when they've been at their best, their very best. And then we create, through kind of a guided visualization, a circle of excellence where they step into that and feel that power and possibility again. Then they step out, they step in, they step out, they step in. And then they finally, through that process, they get to realizing that they can actually walk with that circle of excellence around them or create it at any time that they want. And so that's an example of some NLP processes that I use and incorporate into my coaching.
Thank you very much for that explanation. That's probably the best I've ever heard. I think I have a little better grasp on it now.
Good.
It's not a field I'm an expert in for sure. But you bring up an interesting point. Talk about the difference between coaching somebody in person and coaching somebody over the phone. I mean, is there a loss to the coach or a loss to the client when you remove the visual element? And also, you mentioned you use Skype. Do you use visual in Skype to make up for that, or do you just use auditory?
Wow, good question. Yeah, you know, my participants asked that, too. What I have found is that I like to, well, let me just start with this. I train coaches to do both because I think that if you were just on the phone, you may lose the capacity. You might find yourself distracted by sitting in person with someone. You know, the visual distractions, or, you know, like the waitress walking by or the barista banging something, you know. And so I think it's important to expand your capacity to be and be with whoever it is that you're coaching. I like the telephone because it allows me to really focus. Like, I never have my computer available to me. You know, you can tell sometimes when people are talking to you on the phone and they're on the computer, you can just kind of feel that they're not 100% present. And so I just make it an absolute rule that I am 100% present. I'm taking notes. I'm listening carefully. I may be drawing some diagrams of what my clients are talking about. So I love the efficiency of it, too. You know, I don't have to get in a car and drive anywhere in San Diego or anywhere else. I can just, you know, I am ready. I have the materials there. I'm ready. I have the notes from my previous call. I ask them what their request for coaching is, and we're ready to go. So I can really be effective in and present with them. The one Skype client I have in Manila, we tried the video, and neither one of us cared for it. And so I might move to that, but it was such a, you know, I just found it rather distracting in the whole, you know, kind of like the bit of delay in Skype. So I don't want to discount it, but I have not found any loss in using the telephone. As a matter of fact, I believe that people on the phone are even more authentic and vulnerable. They're more willing to say what's so, to tell you the truth, to tell you those things that they really have not necessarily told anyone else. That's really been my experience, and it really requires that you're there, not only in your head, but in your heart. It really requires that you listen from that place of, I've got you. You are safe right here with me to have this conversation, and it's 100% confidential. No matter, you know, who referred you to me, no matter what other relationships you might have or any other connections, our conversation is sacred and confidential.
You know, what a great observation. I do both phone coaching, and I've always had the sense that the client actually gets more out of the phone coaching, and I never really could put my finger on why. But I think your observation that they may feel more secure and more protected may in fact cause a deeper level of conversation. Sometimes get in person where people maybe are looking for visual clues as to how you're reacting to it.
Yeah.
Great observation.
Oh, visual clues, yeah. That's what, I'm loving this conversation because you just gave me that. You know, they're looking for my visual. I'm looking at them, and they're looking at me. Do
yes.
I approve or not approve? You know, that's fascinating. Thanks for that. I got something from what you said, too.
That's the limit for the day. One good idea a day. That's all I
got. Oh, no.
About,
I got so. Several from you, including the sofa salesman.
Well, look, have you worked as an internal coach before?
I have not. I gave it a swing when I was with AT&T and I was in graduate school at the same time, and I found that there wasn't a listening for an unofficial internal coach. So I have not done it. I have trained people who are internal coaches, but I have not done so myself. I rather like being the one from the outside who has that external perspective.
Okay.
That I don't get caught up in the, you know, the drama so much. That I think I have a little bit clearer vision because I come from outside.
I think you're absolutely right on that. Well, look, as we're kind of winding it up here, I want to give you some space to, is there anything that you didn't get a chance to talk about that you wanted to talk about with our audience, or anything that in the early part of the conversation when we're having some technical issues that you didn't think really came across? So.
Well, I feel well heard. It's just delight to be able to share, you know, what I'm up to as a professional coach. Thank you for your acknowledgement of my Master Certified Coach credential, and I truly believe that what I bring to people makes a difference, and it touches me deeply to get to do this work. You know, I really feel honored to be able to coach people, and wherever they are, inside organizations or individuals. I love meeting people where they are and supporting them to go where they want to go. And in that same light, the training that I do for and with accomplishment coaching allows me to be not only coach to the folks in the program, but to really support them in discovering more powerfully who they are and to build a coaching practice that they can have a life where they are thriving, where they can be a mom and coach as little or as much as they want. They can be their own business owner and entrepreneur. I get to support that, and I get to see people light up. I get to see them take the layers off of maybe discouragement or I can't have what I want, and to really say, whatever it is, I can make that happen. And so for me to get to be a part of that, to train coaches and to coach, is an absolute gift for me. And you know that notion of Dharma, where it's right work. You'll know it when it's there, and I know it. And I would absolutely welcome any inquiries on KathyFlemingCoaching.com or AccomplishmentCoaching.com. Either way, I would love to talk to people, and people who have heard this broadcast or have other questions. I'd be just delighted to offer a sample session. We also offer an observation. We're one of the few coach training programs where we invite people to come in and watch us work on a Saturday morning just as an observer. And then in the afternoon of that Saturday, we offer something called Power Tools for Living. It's a workshop where you really can get your fingerprints on the program itself, the coach training program, but also walk away with some skills and tools for yourself, whether you chose to register for the program or not. So both of those things are available with information either by calling me or dropping on to our AccomplishmentCoaching.com website.
What a great offer for our audience, and I hope many of them will take you up on it. And Kathy, you've done a wonderful job today of really showing how much you care for your clients and how much you hold a space to allow them to be what they can really be and to support them in identifying and in achieving their goals. And I just want to compliment you on that. And I love your sales example here, or your non-sales example of how to think about selling. And I'm really looking forward to appearing on the panel with you on June 14th at the ICF monthly chapter meeting. So that'll be a lot of fun. And
up in Orange County. I can't wait, Doug. It was a pleasure. Thank you for your ease and grace in this conversation. It was very enjoyable. And I'm trusting that your listeners are getting value from both of our comments.
Great. Kathy, thank you very much. And welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show business community.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the invitation, Doug. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Bye.
Have a nice evening.
You too. Bye.
Well, we've been listening to Kathy Fleming, and again, June 14th, there will be a great panel talking about converting more prospects to clients. So whether you're a coach or whether you're in the non-coaching field, you certainly would benefit from this, and you'll get to hear Kathy, myself, and also Greg Winston, who is a motivational speaker. Boy, he gets me pumped up. I'll have a hard time competing there. So be sure to listen to that, too. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. Be sure to tune in again. We're live every Thursday at 4 p.m. right here on octalkradio.net. Also, look for our weekly newsletter. Usually comes out Wednesday mornings. It tells you more about who our guests are going to be this week. If you're not getting that newsletter, go to our website, www.thecoachingperspective.com, and sign up. Or just drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you've enjoyed the show today and that the discussion is information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller, only on octalkradio.net.